Black people are actually dying because of living in Wisconsin. And that's just, that's unconscionable to me.
By many measures, Wisconsin is one of the worst places for Black Americans to live. In the cities of Milwaukee and Racine, Black Americans make half of the median income of whites and are 11 times more likely to be incarcerated, according to a report from 24/7 Wall Street.
That investment in African Americans is not there.
Dr. Alex Gee is the founder and president of the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development, and he's lived in Madison for decades. And he said it wasn't always this way.
My family moved to Madison in 1970 because my mother was going through a divorce, was a high school dropout her freshman year. But when we showed up in Madison, she was invested in. They asked, what do you want to do? What do you want to become? Long and short of it is, my mom took the GED, took the entrance exam, got her undergraduate degree, paid cash for me and my sister to go to the university, and then she won a full fellowship to grad school. When people who look like my mom come here today, 50 years later, and they're a single mom from Chicago, Chicago is code for gangs. And we have blamed our problems on people from Chicago and Milwaukee and have not noticed that Madison-born African-Americans have not been thriving here for decades.
Despite his mother's success, Dr. G told me the stress of being Black in Wisconsin has continued to take its toll.
My family now has 12 degrees from Wisconsin, but we all suffer some stress-related illness from the isolation of living in this community. So even though we're trying to pursue the American dream and live out the Wisconsin idea, through the heights of Wisconsin's Black mortality rate, my wife lost two babies during that same time. And so we tend to think that those are uneducated, low-income Black moms who don't have fathers, who don't have prenatal care. Yet I can name a half dozen to a dozen professional Black women who also lost babies during that same period of time, and they're counted in those numbers. And so the impact of all of this is really horrendous, and we need a serious wake-up call.
In Wisconsin, there's a familiar phrase called the Wisconsin idea. Its origins go back to the early 1900s with University of Wisconsin President Charles Van Hise. He and the governor at the time, Robert La Follette, worked hand in hand focusing the government and the university's resources to usher in an era of prosperity for all families. Wisconsinites know it as their guide for public life, but that progress did not make its way to many of the state's Black residents.
For some folks, people are really struggling.
That's Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, or BLOC.
Wisconsin is home to the most incarcerated zip code. Wisconsin is the worst place to raise a Black child. Milwaukee and Racine are on lists of greatest racial disparities. It's a struggle out here.
I spoke more with both Lang and Dr. Alex G.
I think it's a very tricky time for being Black in America, to be quite honest. I think what makes it increasingly more difficult in Wisconsin is that our state motto is forward. And we have the reputation of being this progressive liberal bastion, sort of, particularly in Madison, the home of the flagship University of Wisconsin-Madison. There's a sense of progression that makes us above the types of challenges that we're experiencing in our state. So what it means in a place like Madison is that we look over our shoulders to the east and think, well, that's Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine, but we have things together. We don't see color. We have the university. We have state workers. And so Black people are doing well here, right? And I've lived here since 1970. I moved here as a six-year-old. We are anything but liberal.
Right. I mean, and that's why I was going to ask you about your work with incarceration.
Sure.
Because that indicator right there would show the opposite.
Definitely. Well, I remember when I started Nehemiah in the late 80s, I left my job at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I graduated and I worked there as an admissions officer and as an assistant to our chancellor. In the late 80s, we found that the Black population in Madison and Dane County basically doubled from 1980 to 1990. Those of us who are African-American influencers, I'm also the most tenured clergy person in our community, so I've been involved in leading a church for about the last 35 years. We said, hey, our population is growing. What we're noticing is that young people are going to mental health hospitals and juvenile correction facilities at a much faster rate than their white counterparts who are getting community service first offender programs. We need more social workers, counselors. We need more judges. We need people in the system because Black children are not getting the same shake. no, we're Madison, we're progressive. But, oh, Alex, we don't see color. We love everyone. You fast forward to where we are today, where we're leading the nation in the incarceration of Black people.
Angela, I want to turn the conversation a little bit towards political engagement of Blacks in Wisconsin specifically. We saw in 2016, African-American turnout drop by almost 20%. Obama did win the state. Hillary infamously lost the state. What can you tell us about that drop?
Yeah, I think one of my biggest takeaways from the drop is the level of engagement. I think there is a little bit of people just assumed Black folks voted for Obama. Black folks are automatically Democrats. We don't need to talk to them until a couple days before an election. When you had all of these things happening in the media, combined with not being authentically engaged and being engaged in a very transactional way, not just in 2016, but as a whole, I've seen campaigns, I've seen elected officials and candidates only knock doors in October saying, hey, vote for me, I'm going to change your life, never to be seen or heard from again. And so I think with a lot of communities, specifically communities of color and Black folks, is that people aren't here for that. Like, gone are the days where you can just show up the weekend before the election and just expect people to vote for you. You want our vote, come get our vote.
How much do you think segregation and racial animus is really at the root of these issues that we're talking about? You know, Dr. G, there are health discrepancies. Angela, we've talked about the political challenges, the incarceration issues. How much of this is bad policy and how much of it is really segregation at the root of this?
I think they feed each other. You know, it's interesting. The powers that be don't really listen to infected parties, to those who are most touched by these issues. And so one of the things I keep saying is that in 30 years of being a community activist, someone very involved in the community, I'm typically invited to the tables with my other Black colleagues once a policy, a plan, or report, once they've been prepared, and we've been asked to rubber stamp it. And if we say that this does not speak to our issues, we're treated and marginalized as angry people who are simple-minded, and we can never be satisfied. And so that's how things really are played out. Folks in Wisconsin, Black folks are thinking folks. We've got feelings. We've got experiences. We choose to live here. We're not banished here. We choose to live here, but yet it's so difficult to bring our voices and our perspectives to the table. We've been talking about the stress of isolation, the microaggressions for years, but again, policy leaders aren't necessarily listening to that because they say, well, the unemployment is low. This is a great utopia. It'll be fine. Just work harder. We're now finding that disparities that used to only rear its head in Black and white reading rates and math rates are now becoming social determinants of premature death in Blacks by the same illnesses that our white counterparts have. We're now seeing the phenomenon in Wisconsin of something called racial battle fatigue, where now African-American people, after suffering other kinds of discrepancies, are now being shown to die more quickly and more often of the same illnesses that their white counterparts have. We're leading in most of them, and there's indications that show that it's really due to the microaggressions and the just the sense of isolation and sort of this pending frustration that happens in being in a progressively minded place like Wisconsin that's not responding to its Black population.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Dr. G that policy kind of fuels into and feeds into segregation. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about segregation specifically in Milwaukee, there's literal bridges that divide the North to the South side, the North being predominantly Black, the South side being predominantly Latinx. And there's a bridge. You see the dividing line. You see the neighborhoods physically change. And we can see how many folks are being policed at a higher rate. You know, we spend more, you know, as a state and, you know, also on the municipal level, we spend more on locking up our Black and brown folks than actually educating them. And, you know, how can we have thriving communities where we're not investing in our futures from a very political way and putting our money where our mouth is and being able to invest into thriving communities? And I think that shows that by and large, communities of color are not afforded the opportunity and the freedom to actually thrive because we're not being invested in, but we're being invested into locking up our futures instead of funding our futures.
Angela Lang is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, or BLOC. Angela, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Alex G is founder and president of the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development. Dr. G, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.